Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news. I'm Carl Lengel. It is Tuesday, the 14th of April, 2026. Democrats competing to represent eastern Montana in the U.S. House took to the debate stage in Helena this past weekend. The three candidates covered many issues, including how they each plan to address health care costs. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Rega reports.
The Democrats vying for their party's nomination to run in the Eastern District are Brian Miller, a Helena attorney, Sam Lux, a farrier from Great Falls, and Jonathan Windy Boy, a state senator from Box Elder. They agree on several issues, including opposing the Iran war and repealing the One Big Beautiful Bill. They argue the bill's cuts to Medicaid funding will be detrimental to rural Montana. On health care costs, Miller says the Affordable Care Act hasn't worked because of its broad mandates. He proposed having each state create their own public health care systems.
So let's let it come from the ground up. Some states will come up with good ideas, some will try things. Let's let the experimentation occur, and it's going to take a minute, and we have to be patient.
Lux agreed that the ACA is not working as intended. He called for repealing the subsidies recipients use to pay for private health coverage on the marketplace. He said that funding should instead go towards building a single-payer system.
They can actually provide basic coverage, opt-in coverage, for every single American.
Windy Boy says he supports a universal healthcare model, but he said he's more concerned with the funding cuts and tighter eligibility requirements for Medicaid expansion.
If the best we can get out of this Congress of having Medicaid reinstituted back in the system, I'll support that too.
Whoever wins the primary will face Republican incumbent Congressman Troy Downing, who's unopposed in the GOP primary. Libertarian Patrick McCracken and Independent Michael Eisenhower are also in the race. Montana's primary is June 2nd. In Helena, I'm Shaley Reiger.
With an April 15th income tax deadline just around the corner, a new analysis shows that new policies under the second Trump administration will negatively impact most Wyomingites. Eric Galatas with the Wyoming News Service has more.
In 2026, the top 20% of earners will get a $380 billion tax cut, with $117 billion going to the richest 1% alone. Michael Ettlinger with the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy says in Wyoming, middle-income people are going to pay about $1,430 more in 2026 than if we'd just continued the tax policies we'd had.
Overall, on average, people in the bottom 95% of the income distribution are going to see taxes go up, whereas people in the top 5% are going to see taxes go down.
Tax cuts passed under the Republican signature One Big Beautiful Bill Act are projected to add $4.6 trillion to the national debt. In an effort to reduce that price tag, lawmakers cut $1.2 trillion in spending, largely from health care. Republicans have long argued that allowing Americans to keep more of their earnings will boost the economy, which will create more jobs and increase revenues. I'm Eric Galatas.
Elections officials remind mail-in voters to add their birth year to their envelopes or risk ballot rejection next month. A law passed in 2025 requires voters to verify their envelopes with both their signature and now their four-digit birth year. The Montana Association of Clerk and Recorders shared a news release Monday re-upping an alert about the new verification policy. Other elections offices, like those in Yellowstone County, include the information on their websites. School and special district elections are May 5th. If the birth date is missing from an envelope, the ballot must be corrected by 5 p.m. the day after the election on May 6th. The Montana Association of Clerk and Recorders recommends Montanans mail their ballots before April 28th for the best chance of sorting out any errors that pop up. Voters can also track the progress of their ballots on myvoterpagemt.com. Montana U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy is uninjured after making an emergency landing near Ennis during a routine flight exercise. Sheehy's chief of staff, Mike Berg, posted on social media the private plane experienced a mechanical engine failure while the senator was completing a training. Sheehy and an unnamed co-pilot landed in a private field in Madison County. Sheehy founded the aerial firefighting company, Bridger Aerospace. He is a former Navy SEAL and certified flight instructor. The Madison County Sheriff's Office responded and reported that both occupants were unharmed. Both local and federal authorities are investigating the incident. PacifiCorp has halted plans for new wind and solar projects in Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, and California in its long-range planning document. The company owns Rocky Mountain Power, which is Wyoming's largest electric utility. PacifiCorp cites the repeal of parts of the Inflation Reduction Act, which phased out key tax benefits for renewable energy. This decision affects Wyoming's renewable energy landscape. Despite recent rate hikes, the company says renewable investments have kept costs lower. The shift may make coal more competitive. Industry experts believe renewable energy will remain viable due to efficiency gains, but PacifiCorp's delay could increase future costs. The latest snowmelt forecast for the Bighorn Basin in northern Wyoming continues to predict less water coming into the storage reservoirs in the region, with some runoff sources at 33% of the 30-year average in the Bureau of Reclamation's April forecast. The most full of the basin's water sources in the latest BOR forecast is Bighorn Lake at 77% full. Next is Boyson Reservoir at 72% full, then Buffalo Bill Reservoir at 68%. The least full as of April 1st is Bull Lake, northwest of Riverton. It's sitting at 29% full. BOR's storage reservoirs in the Bighorn Basin have a combined storage capacity of more than 2.5 million acre feet, and most of that capacity is attributed to Bull Lake, Boyson, and Buffalo Bill reservoirs in Wyoming and Bighorn Lake in Montana. The Bighorn Basin is approximately 100 miles wide, bounded by the Absaroka Range on the west, the Pryor Mountains on the north, Bighorn Mountains on the east, and the Wind River and Granite Mountains on the south. U.S. soybean farmers are facing an array of compounding issues. Costs, such as equipment, have crept up over time, while soybean prices have stayed low. Tariffs levied by the Trump administration last year and the resulting months-long trade war with China in 2025 only made things worse. Then the Iran war bottled up shipping through the Strait of Hormuz, sending fertilizer prices sky high. A ceasefire deal announced April 7th raised hope that bottlenecks in the strait would abate, but the future of the agreement was uncertain. Experts say it will take time for global supply chains to recover from the war. China is buying U.S. soybeans again, but farmers say a recent $12 billion federal aid package is not enough to recoup their losses during the trade war. Soybeans, which are used for livestock feed, food, and biofuels, are among the top U.S. agricultural exports. That hasn't always been the case. Before the 1960s, soybeans were not a major crop in the U.S. This is a midterm election year, and Montana's primary election is June 2nd. Yellowstone Public Radio and Montana Public Radio are working together to share profiles on candidates running for federal office in 2026. Today, a conversation between Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler and Russ Cleveland, who's a Democrat running for Montana's Western U.S. House seat.
What makes you the most qualified candidate for the job?
Yeah, great question. So a combination of life and lived experience for me. I've grew up here in Western Montana, have agricultural roots, live on a ranch now, but also in leaving Montana, have time in military service. Have an education, not only a bachelor's in nutrition, but an MBA as well. Worked in high finance, managing multi-$100 million budgets, which I think is important in this day and age, just being able to actually start managing the financial situation that we're in as at the federal government. We're spending in the wrong areas. If you're investing in your people, in your country, debt can be a good thing when there's a return on that investment. When we're investing in forever wars, right now it's $2 billion a day in Iran, what is the return on investment in that effort? To me, it's not worth it when people here can't afford housing, can't afford health care, can't afford child care, have not seen any significant wage increases in decades. And so here we are. When the time comes to actually spend the money, we have no problem spending it in another forever war, but we are hesitant to spend it on American taxpayers, and that's a big issue.
What previous experience would you bring to Congress?
My previous experience lies in managing major budgets, understanding military spending with having served myself, and really understanding the most important for me, not just small business, but on the personal side, seeing what tragedy looks like from a healthcare perspective. My wife and I lost our oldest daughter to leukemia in 2020, and seeing not only what that looks like from a patient perspective of having to fight a nasty disease, but then having this parallel battle against big insurance, who for us sent us a bill for over $300,000 for just 1 month of treatment after insurance. And then just years later, seeing it again with a youngest daughter who was diagnosed with a different rare disease, and the only medication that could cure her continually was denied by insurance. And so that experience for me is both professional and lived experience that I'm bringing to Congress to represent Montanans, which is something we haven't had in a long time.
The federal government shut down over an impasse between Republicans and Democrats over subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. How would you have approached that vote?
Yeah, you know, if we would have actually passed legislation that embraced a universal healthcare system, we wouldn't have to be arguing over crumbs with the Affordable Care Act. We needed those that pushback in that session, because people can't afford to go from $500 to $2,900 a month for healthcare. That just isn't possible. You're kicking people off the plan by way of financial crisis. That was an important stand to take, but the real solution is putting in a universal healthcare system that gives you quality care regardless of whether you make $10 an hour or $100 an hour.
What is a top priority for constituents in your district?
You know, one of the biggest things I've heard is housing here in Montana. We've seen an incredible growth in the cost of housing in the last 5 years, especially because we have both a combination of limited supply that is ultimately at a very high amount. And so if we really want to attack that issue, we have to attack this wage disparity, which pushes productivity and profit all the way to the top of these major corporations. It doesn't actually pay the people who are doing the work and creating that productivity. If we want people to afford housing, we have to increase the supply of affordable housing, not just standalone homes that cost $1 million, but also actually give people the means to pay for that, which is wages. And that is ultimately the root of most of the issues in the affordability crisis.
The Trump administration made a huge push to downsize the federal government. Are you happy with the results of that effort?
While we need to address this $40 trillion debt that we're approaching as a country, I don't believe that cuts like that are the right way to do it. We need to look at things like a $280 billion budget on ICE, a $1 trillion budget on our uniformed military, and start looking at actually cutting back some of these areas where we spend in excess while supporting things like veterans, education, and healthcare, some of these areas that we really could benefit from as a public by spending more of our money there.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Victoria Traxler speaking with Russ Cleveland, running for the Western U.S. House seat. These interviews are also available on our website, ypradio.org. Several Montana communities will share hundreds of thousands of dollars in support of local development projects. The Montana Department of Commerce Friday announced 10 local safety agencies will share $500,000 of grant funding to support tourism-related emergency service projects in rural areas. The funding is through Commerce's Montana Emergency Tourism Assistance Grant Program, or METAP. Fire departments in Custer County, Hebgen Basin, Miles City, Missoula Rural Fire District, Sun Prairie Rural, 3 Mile, and Virginia City will each receive $50,000 toward new fire and rescue equipment. The Libby Police Department will receive $50,000 to purchase a new patrol vehicle. The METAP program is designed to support services provided by public or private safety agencies, including law enforcement, firefighting, and ambulance or medical services. That's The Worm for this Tuesday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.